Now I want to take the flip side of that coin tonight, if I can. The book of Psalm chapter 85 and verse 6. Common verse, wilt thou not revive us again?
Yeah.
Why? What's the conclusion he's looking for? What's the results he's wanting? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Turn over to Psalm 126. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And look at this chapter, Psalm 126. This is so good. Let's read the whole thing. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. When the Lord delivered us from captivity, it was like a dream come true. We couldn't believe it. That's exactly what he's saying. When the Lord delivered us from captivity, it was like a dream come true. What was the result? Verse 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad.
Right.
Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. What does he start to in verse 5? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Hallelujah.
He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing,
yes,
bringing his sheaves with him. Lord, verse 1, when you delivered us, when you really gave us revival, when you delivered us from bondage and captivity, it was like a dream come true. Our mouth was filled with laughter. Our heart was filled with singing. And you know what? The heathen noticed it. Then they started talking out there among the heathen. Look, the Lord's done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. So do it again, God. Turn again our captivity, verse 4, as the streams in the south. But don't stop there. You know, we got a modern revival movement going on today called the laughter revival, where people are being filled with the Spirit to the point that they are laughing hysterically. How many's read about that or heard about that? How many here? I've read about it in all these different magazines and heard about it on the radio. The revival of laughter. And I believe in laughing in the Spirit. But what this modern revival movement is doing, saying, look, we're having a great move of God, a great revival. Why, the altar out here is just full of people flopping over, just dying laughing. We're having a great move of God. No, hold on. That's not where Psalm 126 ended. Revive us, Lord. You fill our heart with laughter. Then the world starts taking notice. In verse 5, he starts out with, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. The modern revival movement seems like laughter is the end. Friend, joy is not the end. Joy is a means to an end. If your revival doesn't get attention from the world and people start getting saved, and you doubtless shall come again with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves, you've not had much of a revival. I'm going to preach tonight, Brother Billy. I don't know what to title it. Either you can title it, What's So Funny? Or Laughing and Weeping Your Loved Ones into the Kingdom. Father, bless the reading of your word tonight. Bless this service, this church, this work for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This modern revival movement, as I said, the main fault that I'm having with it is this. Every report I read about it, every time I hear it discussed on the radio, every time I talk to somebody who has experienced it, you've met those people who say, oh, I was in that service, it was great. I've met a few that have gotten into the laughter revival. The only problem I'm having with it is this. They say, it's a great move of God.
Yeah.
And the only results they can look at is, we were laughing. Friend, that's not revival. Listen, enjoying the work and the moving of God is a necessity. And if you're not enjoying your experience with the Lord, don't question why your family and friends aren't getting saved. They had a man, they said, who lived across the street from a church. And they was over there, some people from the church were out on visitation. They was across the street talking to the man saying, hey, you need to come to church. No, I don't think I want to. Hey, why don't you just come on and go to church with us? No, I really don't think I want to. Oh, come on. They kept pressing him. And finally he said, well, do you want to know why I don't want to go to your church? He said, because every Sunday morning I sit across from your church and I see people going into your church and they look like they're going to the dentist every time they go in.
My goodness.
He said, the worst thing about it is when they come out, it looks like they've been to the dentist.
Oh my.
It looks like nobody's enjoying your church, so why would I want to go? Listen, when you go to McDonald's for your little kid, what do they always want to order? Comes in a little box. It's called a
Happy Meal.
Happy Meal. You know, I've never seen on any marquee at a restaurant advertisements for a grouchy meal. I don't think they'd sell that well. But can I tell you, friend, if you laugh, the world will laugh with you. But if you weep, you weep alone. Can I tell you what we need in 1996? We need a revival that will get the people of God enjoying the move of God. We need to have a revival that gets people in the house of God excited about the things of God. Friend, if you're not enjoying the worship of God in your church services, don't expect your family or friends to ever want to come to your church. But boy, if we can have a move of God that will get people to enjoying and laughing and enjoying the things of God. Hey, I don't think it'll be long before they among the heathen, Psalm 126. Then said they among the heathen, look, the Lord has done great things for them. It starts out with revival. Verse 1 said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it was like a dream come true. Friend, your religion ought to be more than just something to take up a few hours of your week. It ought to be extreme liberty. It ought to be deliverance from things that bind. It ought to be deliverance from spiritual, emotional, psychological, mental bondage. But when you take a poll of the Christian people and the poll of the people who say they don't have any interaction with the church, and they all have the same amount of nervous breakdowns, they all have the same amount of emotional distress, they all have the same amount of depression, what are we doing here, folks? What's the difference between the house of God and somebody who doesn't know anything about God? I'll tell you, friend, this ought to be liberty. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He is 100% free. That's what the church needs today. It needs a revival that gets the people of God shaken loose from the things that bind them. Hey, it ain't no person out there in the bondage of sin. When they look at the church world and say, look, they're bound in the same things, they're not going to want anything that you've got. But if they can see you going through the same difficulties in life, the same problems, the same stress, the same financial difficulties, but the whole time you're going through it, you're smiling and enjoying it and just worshiping God and giving God praise, and it seems like it doesn't get you down, don't tell me they won't be taking notice of it. But when we're out in the world and the guy working beside you, he's going through this problem. Well, you know what? I'm going through that problem too. Well, you know what? I had an emotional breakdown about it. Oh, you know what? I did too. Oh, that's not much of a testimony. Psalm 126, verse 1 said, when the Lord set us free, it was like a dream come true. Friend, a revival that will give us liberty and freedom from bondage is what we need. And then verse 2, it ought to bring this result. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Friend, you ought to enjoy coming to the house of God. This ought to be the chiefest point in your week, getting to come to the house of God. But when every time we come to the door, we look like we're coming to a dentist. And if we go out the door and it looks like we've been to a dentist, that's not much of a testimony to the world. Enter his gates. Man, they ought to know something's going on in the church house when everybody who's coming into that church is full of smiles and full of joy. When they can see you coming in here with that and going out with more, I think they'll start asking questions. You know what? That's what it said here in the end of verse 2. Then said they among the heathen. Listen, this modern revival movement, when all you do is get a lot of laughter and it never gets the attention of the world, you've not done much. But friend, when you can have a move of God that gives you liberty and gives you so much joy that your family and your friends start taking notice, you've had a move of God. You have had a revival. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. Yes, He has, verse 3 said, and we're glad about it. But then it goes right on from that and starts talking about what? Evangelizing the lost. It starts talking directly after that about evangelizing the lost. Psalm 85:6 said, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may you give us a revival so we'll start enjoying your work again? Lord, why don't you give us a revival so we'll start enjoying the preaching of the Word again? Lord, why don't you give me a revival so I'll start enjoying the song service again? Lord, why don't you give me a revival so I'll start rejoicing in you? You know why the majority of the church world's not crying out for revival today? They got too many other things that give them joy. They have too many other sources of joy. The psalmist said, if I forget Jerusalem, don't ever, Lord, let me forget that Jerusalem is my chiefest joy. Listen, friend, if you derive more joy out of hunting and fishing and garage selling or whatever other else your hobby is, you've got something wrong with your priorities. I'll tell you what ought to be the paramount of your experience in life, the worship of God, the house of God, the work of God. Well, Lord, won't you send us a revival so we can start rejoicing in you again? But no, we don't even miss revival. Because we've got so many other things that bring us joy. Listen, there's no problem with enjoying other things. But if those other things have made you so comfortable that you can come to the house of God and never really enjoy it and still get by because I have joy in other areas, you need a move of God. Lord, revive us again so we can start joying in you. Wilt thou not revive us again, Lord, so we can rejoice in you? Listen, the church world is rejoicing today. It's just rejoicing in the wrong thing. The church world today is saying, hey, we're going doing great things. Look, we got great big buildings. You're rejoicing in the wrong thing. We got great big numbers. You're rejoicing in the wrong thing. We got great big programs. You're rejoicing in the wrong thing. What happened to the days when you said, hey, we had a move of God and it's brought us joy. Lord, give us a revival that will put our joy back into you. Friend, this ought to be the most exciting thing you're involved in today. I mean, you ought to be eager beaver to get to the house of God and experience the move of God. Why is joy important? Because like I said this, you're never going to fulfill Psalm 126 about winning the lost until we can get revival in here. Why is the church here? Friend, if the only reason God saved you was to get you to heaven, He'd have saved you and knocked you in the head and took you. He saved you to be a light to the world. But when the church world's in the same mix and mess as the world, there's no light. There's no witness there. So that's why the psalmist is crying out, Lord, when you turned our captivity, it was like a dream come true. Our mouth was filled with laughter. Our heart was singing. And then the world started noticing, saying, look, God's done something for them. And then he gets right into, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Hallelujah. He that goeth forth weepeth, rejoicing and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I tell you what we need to do to get our family saved. Let them see this be the chiefest joy in your life. Let them. You ever walked into a room? This is why I was going to title it this way. You ever walked into a room and there was a bunch of people in the room and you walked into the room and everybody's laughing. Everybody just hee-hawed and laughing. And you know you missed a funny line or something funny happened. What do you always do? You always go up to somebody and say, hey, what's so funny? What's going on? What's so funny? You ever walked into a room where everybody's grouchy or crying or grumbling? Do you ever go to and say, hey, what are we all complaining about? Hey, let me in on it. I mean, what's everybody so depressed about? Let me in on the secret. You never do that, do you? The world doesn't either. Oh, friend, when the world's outside and they see nothing but depression and contention in the church, you never have them saying among the heathen, the Lord's done great things for them. But boy, you let a church get on fire for God, get into a revival that sets them free from their bondages and starts putting laughter into their mouth. You tell me that when they run into you and they see you laughing, well, everybody that sees somebody else enjoying something, they always want to be a part of it. They always want to come and say, hey, what's so funny? What's going on that you're enjoying? Let me tell you, friend, if the world out there and your family and friends doesn't see you and enjoying the work of God and coming to church, don't ever wait for them to ask you what's going on. But boy, if this is your joy, if the work of God is your heartbeat, If this is the chiefest, supremest amount of joy that you've ever had here in the house of God, the world will take notice and they'll be asking you, hey, what's going on down there? What's so funny? Let me in on the secret. I tell you what the church world needs today, a revival that will get them back to enjoying the house of God, a revival that will fill their mouth with laughter and fill their heart with singing so the heathen will stand up and take notice the Lord has done great things for them. Let me tell you, friend, joy is an important thing.
Hallelujah.
The joy. Nehemiah 8:10. Why is joy important?
Yes.
Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know why a lot of people are weak? You know why people are just teeter-tottering, ready to fall out of church? They don't enjoy it.
Right.
I love to eat steak. I love to eat steak. I could eat steak every day. My wife, I don't want to say she nags at me, but she counsels me. You eat too much red meat. And so being an obedient, submissive husband, you know what I do? I go on and eat steak anyways. I don't listen. You know why? Because I enjoy eating steak so much that it doesn't matter what kind of bad reports come out about it. It doesn't matter how much I get counseled against it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep right on eating steak. Because I like it. You know why so many people are just teeter-tottering, ready to fall out of church? They don't enjoy this. I'll tell you how joy is your strength. When you like it so much that it's all you want to do, it doesn't matter what the world says about it. I still like it. Ice cream's not good for you. I know that. But I eat it every day. I ate a big bowl of it last night. I eat ice cream all the time. You know why? Because I like it. Hey, all these other foods, pizza's not good for you. I know that. But I eat it anyways. You know why? Because I like it. Hey, Christianity is old-fashioned. Hey, I know that. But I'm still part of it because I like it. Christianity is backwards. I know that. But guess what? I'm going to still be a part of it because I like it. Christianity, that's a bunch of fanatics. They're a bunch of kooks. They're extremists. Hey, I know that. But guess what? I don't care what the world says about it. I enjoy it so much, I'm going to stay a part of it. Friend, if you enjoy the work of God, it will be strength to you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Why can't I fight it? Why am I so weak? I'll tell you why. Because you've not had a revival in such a long time. You're not enjoying it. Lord, revive us again that your people may rejoice in you. Joy is important because it's a basic part of this kingdom of God. Woo, we got big homes and nice cars and see how the Lord's blessed me? Not necessarily. Romans 14:17. This is such a crystal clear point. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink and material possessions. That's all it means. The kingdom of God's not meat and drink. But I see a lot of people, the only thing they can boast about what the Lord's done for them is all the material things they've accumulated. None of their family is saved. None of their kids are in church. But boy, the Lord's blessed me. I wonder. None of your kids, none of your family, nobody around you, your friends are saved. But God's blessed you. I wonder if your joy has been in material blessings and your joy has not been in the kingdom of God.
Right.
Like I say, the reason a lot of people aren't crying out for revival, they've got so many other things that they're enjoying. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. But you know what it is? Romans 14:7, he said, the kingdom of God's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Friend, if you're missing joy, you're missing out one of the building blocks of your experience in God. You're missing out on a part of the kingdom of God. Joy ought to be a fruit of the Spirit. It ought to be something that just comes natural. You know, that's what it means by the fruit of the Spirit. That apple tree out there, it has apple sap in that tree trunk. And you know what naturally comes out of the branches? Apples. It just comes natural. That's what the Bible means by the fruit of the Spirit. If you've got the Spirit of God abiding in you, these things ought to just come natural. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Friend, these aren't things you ought to work at. These are things that just come natural. Get more of the Holy Ghost working inside of you. Get more of the Spirit of God working inside of you, and you'll find that the fruit comes natural. You know, it's sort of like that one-size-fits-all hat. You just adjust the band. A lot of people are saying, boy, I don't have enough joy. And they go to try to find joy, and the whole time they're working on this little one part over here, they're lacking in love. And they're lacking in peace because it's getting kind of aggravating and tedious trying to get joy. So they have to go over here and try to find peace. No, it doesn't work that way. Find the Spirit of God. Get the Holy Ghost moving inside of you. When you get...